Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. Today we have the privilege of considering a beautiful saint, St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis is, without a doubt, it is fair to say, one of the most popular saints in the church, in the world. Even those who may not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even those who may not share in our holy Christian faith, those who may be totally ignorant of the scriptures, oftentimes we hear they have heard of St. Francis of Assisi. So powerful is the impact, so widespread is the effect of the life of holiness lived by the man, the Poverolo of Assisi, the man who loved Jesus with his all, the man who experienced a powerful conversion of heart, a man who is known for his fierce devotion to Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist, a man who understood that the riches of this world that fill the hands oftentimes lead to an emptiness in the heart which corrupts the soul, a man who saw in creation and sought out a protection of creation because he saw in the created order a reflection of God's love. However, regardless of how the world has come to know of St. Francis of Assisi, each one of us in the order of grace are able to see him as our brother, as a saint interceding on our behalf for us in heaven. The feast day of St. Francis of Assisi is the 4th of October. St. Francis of Assisi, known as Francis Bernardone or Il Poverolo, is known as a man of a simple nature, but a fervent heart, a powerful soul, an incredible intercessor. Son of Pietro in Assisi, who was a rich cloth merchant, St. Francis, though he had a very good education and became part of his father's business, he also had somewhat of a misspent youth. We may say he was ornery or rowdy. He was a street brawler and sometime a hired soldier, a man seeking glory and honor and fame. During one battle, he was captured during a conflict between Assisi and Perugia, Italy. He spent over a year as a prisoner of war. During this time as a prisoner, he had a conversion experience, including a reported message from Christ calling him to leave this worldly life. Upon release as a prisoner, he made his way back to his home village of Assisi. Francis began taking his faith seriously. In that great moment, we experience God's mercy. It's incredible how in the life of St. Francis we can learn how we have to be patient with ourselves as the Lord is patient with us. In that great and incredible experience of conversion, St. Francis of Assisi realized the mercy of God, but perhaps we may also say the patience of Jesus. And in experiencing the mercy and the patience of Jesus, he realized just how powerful our faith is. The reality, the truth that Jesus is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. And I think that's something important for us to consider, because oftentimes when we see St. Francis of Assisi, either in a picture or a statue, we think of him merely in the depicted form, usually expressed with birds or animals. Because of his sensitivity towards creation, we don't oftentimes have an opportunity to fully appreciate the zeal, the power of his love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, and how he would spare no expense on the altar of the living God, making sure that when it came to the Holy Mass, when it came to the Blessed Sacrament, the finest of the fine was used. But then in everything else, simplicity and poverty was expressed and experienced. So powerful was his love for the Lord Jesus. He would spend hours in prayer before Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. St. Francis of Assisi is rightly known as many, many different titles and lovers of creation, defenders of the innocent, he who would walk among the poor, feed the poor, defend the vulnerable. But let us remember the source of his strength. Let us recall the source of his strength. And as he called for a reform of the church, from where did he receive that spirit of fortitude, if not from before the Lord in the Holy Eucharist? It's an opportunity for us to treasure the great gift the great opportunity for us to realize that when we are overwhelmed and frustrated by the sins of this world, by the chaos, by the corruption, in order to have strength to bring about reform, we have to return to Jesus in the Eucharist. St. Francis of Assisi took the Gospels as the rule of his life, Jesus Christ as his literal example. He dressed in rough clothes, begged for his sustenance, and preached purity and peace. His family disapproved, wanting for him a future that was bright, filled with success and wealth and peace. His family could not understand how he would reject everything they worked so hard to obtain in the material order. In their disapproval, they eventually even disowned him, and his father disinherited him, even putting St. Francis, his own son, in chains, treating him like a kind of prisoner. St. Francis formally renounced his wealth and inheritance. He visited hospitals, served the sick, preached in the streets, and took all men and women as his own, as his siblings, as his brothers and sisters. He began to attract followers in 1209, that's the year 1209, and with papal blessing, that means the blessing of the Holy Father from the Pope, he founded a group of the Brothers Minor, or the Little Brothers. They eventually became known as the Franciscans because of his name, Francis. Based on a simple statement by the Lord Jesus, leave all and follow me. As with all of the great saints, even though they respond to the Lord with the fullness of their heart, oftentimes they never travel alone along the path towards union with Jesus. So beautiful, so powerful was the example of St. Francis that he inspired a peer of his at the same time. In 1212, St. Clare of Assisi became his spiritual daughter, spiritual student, if you will, which led to the founding of the Poor Clares. Visited and preached to the Saracens, composed songs and hymns to God, as well as in defense of and for the protection of nature. Was at peace, entering into a portion of the ravine in the hillsides just outside of Assisi called the Eremo. On the hillside there, in the crevices of the rocks, he would form hermitages where he would spend long periods of time in silent prayer, striving for total union with the Lord. While there, he would come to admire the beauty of creation, and there, in the wind blowing through the hills and through the ravines, he would find peace, and he would find an ability to gain strength. And then he would return to Assisi, where he would be about the incredible work of caring for the poor. It is important for us to realize that within St. Francis, you know, oftentimes we only take notice of the external reality of his life, but there's a deep-seated prayer. There's a deep mystical experience of prayer in the life of St. Francis. And those who follow him today, whether they be friars, whether they be sisters, whether they be members of the cloistered Poor Clares, or members of the secular Franciscans, they all find themselves striving to be rooted in a deep mystical union of prayer with the Lord, before the Lord in the Holy Eucharist, being sustained by the Lord Jesus Christ in the grace that he gives to the soul through the sacred mysteries of our holy faith. When we look at St. Francis, oftentimes we look at what he did, and rightfully so. But may we always dial it back and consider first who he is. We must never reduce the mystery of our humanity to functionality, seeing us only based on what we can do or what we have done or what we must accomplish. Rather, look at the beauty of the soul, and there you find the true source of dignity and the sanctity of life. We must look at who we are in light of who God is. And then, in the light of who God is, we open ourselves to his grace and his mercy, and we cooperate with the Lord in the reform, in the restoration of the world. In the life of St. Francis, in the year 1221, he resigned from directing the community of the Little Brothers, those friars who became known as the Franciscans. While in meditation on Mount Averno, in the Apennine Mountains, in the hills, in September of 1224, St. Francis received the stigmata, which periodically bled during the remaining 2 years of his life. This miracle has a separate memorial on the 17th of September. In the Middle Ages, people who believed to be suffering from possession or the affliction of evil, especially called out upon the intercession of Saint Francis. The thinking being that he was so powerful in this world as a result of his mystical prayer and his detachment from material things, that he was a great intercessor for those who had become enslaved to objects or even to evil. Saint Francis is a patron against those who are dying alone or against fire. He is also seen as a great intercessor for those who work for the preservation and the protection of the created order. Oddly enough, he is also the patron saint of those who work with lace and tapestries, partly because of his family's business, but also because of his sensitivity towards beauty for the sanctuary where the altar is, the altar that has the tabernacle that contains the Blessed Sacrament, the presence of the Lord dwelling among us in the Holy Eucharist. If we struggle to believe, if we have a struggle in our faith, St. Francis of Assisi is a good advocate, a good brother, a good friend in heaven. May we never take for granted the great opportunity to consider the lives of the saints dwelling among us, those who are in heaven with the Lord, advocating on our behalf, interceding on our behalf. May we pray for the strength and the commitment of all of those religious today who walk in the footsteps of St. Francis, their holy founder, their holy father. May we also pray through St. Francis' intercession for a reform, an ongoing reform and renewal of Holy Mother the Church, that everywhere and always she may be faithful to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. May Jesus give you his peace.